Open to James, James chapter 1, and here we have a passage on temptations. Are temptations good or bad? Many a time we think of temptations as something quite bad or evil because it's destructive to our faith. And yes, there are temptations like this that cause us to sin against God. Temptations that come from within our sinful self. Temptations that come from the evil one, from the devil. And we know that he is the tempter. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So these are evil temptations. Temptations that destroy our faith. Now, over here, what kind of temptations was James speaking of, especially in verses 2 to 4? Please know that there is a kind of temptation that is good or constructive, that does not destroy, but rather will build us up in the faith. It's constructive. And here, the temptations spoken of from verses 2 to 4 are such temptations. Temptations that will build us up, strengthen us in the faith. And really, the word temptation here is further explained by the words in verse 3. It says here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying. So these temptations are really tests, right? Testings and trials that God put or place on our way to test us, to prove us, to see whether the faith that we have within us is genuine or not. And if it's genuine faith, this faith will be built up, will be strengthened, will be enhanced as we go through all these trials and testings. And that's what we also read from verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. So the temptations here are trials and testings that God allows and even sends into our life. And he sends these things to us in order to prove us, to test us. And if we endure such testings and trials, the Lord tells us here, we shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Well, if we have true, genuine faith, and one of the characteristics of genuine, true faith is this endurance we must have. True faith is enduring faith. And if our faith is genuine, we will all receive this crown of life at the end. So there's something good, something necessary in our lives. And here we also know that these temptations are trials and testings that the Lord may send or allow in our life because of the people to whom James was writing. In verse 1, we read, James, a servant of God. I believe here the writer of this epistle was the apostle James, the son of Zebedee. And he wrote to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So here we are told that the people to whom James was writing were the Jews. The 12 tribes, this term distinctively is descriptive of the Jewish nation, the Jews. So it's writing to Jews. Jews who are believers, because in verse 2 we read that he called them my brethren, right? My brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ. So these are Jewish believers, and they are going through tremendous persecution and suffering because of this scattering. It says here, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And the word scattered abroad here in the original, the diaspora, has to do with the Jewish dispersion that was due to persecution. And we know this from Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 11. So these trials and testings were due to adverse conditions and circumstances due to the Jews, the believers, trying to live out their faith. Trying to live a godly life. They are believers. They want to follow and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the good news, the gospel, to the lost, even to their own kinsmen, their own people, the Jews. And in trying to share the gospel, live according to the scriptures, a godly life, well, they go through such troubles and hardships, persecution. And really, the sufferings were great because the persecution entailed not just verbal abuse. You know, we often say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words cannot hurt me, right? I mean, if they want to hurl ridicule, and they can mock at us or scoff at us, call us names, whatever things they may say of us, it's fine. We can take that, take all these things. But here, the persecution involves physical sufferings because it involves imprisonment. Involves death, involves loss of property, loss of freedom, loss of loved ones, beatings and scourgings, poverty that comes because, you know, you're kicked out of your house, your property being confiscated. And if the husband or the father in the house is executed, well, the women and the children become orphans and widows. And that's why in the early church, injunction was given, take care of the orphans and the widows. They have been left destitute. And the church has a responsibility for them to take care of them. Well, all this arose because of persecution, you see. Not easy, it's very, very hard. In living the Christian life, you have to go through all these things. And the persecution being faced can come from within or without the church. It can come from many, many directions. And in our life, the life we live as a Christian, you may have to go through these challenging moments, trials and testings the Lord will send into our lives. And the Lord has a good purpose. He wants to test us, prove us. Do you really believe in me? Do you really love me? And if we truly have believed on the Lord and we love the Lord and we have faith, these testings and trials that God sent to us will strengthen us in the faith. Our faith will increase, our faith will grow, our faith will mature. And it is good for us. But it is not easy. And here James writes to these Jewish believers going through such persecution because there may be some who are thinking of quitting the faith. It's too hard for me. And here James is trying to write such words to encourage them. If you truly believe, persevere. So not easy. You know, the temptation is very real. And here, when it's translated as temptations, it's a good, accurate translation. Because although they are referring to trials and testings that come our way, these trials and testings can tempt us in the sense that the temptation Temptation is real. When such difficult times come, the temptation is there. You know, why should I continue to believe? Maybe if I don't believe, I recant, I deny Christ, I'll be saved from all these troubles. I will have a trouble-free life. I don't want all these troubles. I don't want all these sufferings. So let me give up the faith. I mean, the temptation can come in this way. And so when such trials and testings come, what must we do? If we want all these trials and testings to result in our good, then we must do the following. Firstly, James here tells us we must rejoice. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Consider, regard it all joy. You have to program in your mind. You have to determine in your heart, program in your mind that if testings and trials, persecutions, tribulation, hardships, when they come because of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in His Word, I must stand firm, I must stand strong, I will not be discouraged, I must be encouraged, and I must rejoice in such adverse and trying circumstances. And don't reject these things. Welcome these things. Count it all joy, not part joy. All joy. Be fully, thoroughly, utterly joyful, happy. When you fall into diverse temptations. And this is not an option, you know. Here we have a command. We must do it. Count it all joy. And not just a command, it's something that we must always do, always consider, always think of these trials and testings in the positive light that God sends them on our way for our good. May not be pleasant, may not be easy, but they are necessary. The Lord sends them to us, and they are all for our good. So we must have the correct mindset and attitude when we face such things. So here, we are told, be extremely happy and joyful. You go through all these things. Now, this is very hard to do, isn't it? I mean, who enjoys suffering? Who enjoys pain? Who enjoys such difficulties, persecution? None of us would. And now you ask me to be happy and joyful when I face all these things? Very hard to do, isn't it? Very hard. And really, we cannot do these things. We cannot have a joyful heart without the Lord helping us. And when the Lord sends all these things on our way, now He doesn't just leave us alone. He is with us. He will help. And He wants us to experience Him in a very real way. Although difficult, when we go through all these things with Him by our side, and with the Holy Spirit within us, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is joy. For the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us such virtues, strong feelings of joy. Didn't the Lord tell us that the Holy Spirit is our comforter? Called alongside us to counsel us and to comfort us. And He's a comforting counselor. And that's why we can really experience this kind of a joy when we go through such trials and testings, even persecution, such dangers that may come into our lives. And the temptations can be of various kinds, diverse temptations. The testings may be physical, may be emotional, may be mental. It gives us a lot of stress and distress when they come. And they can come in various ways. And yet we must count it all joy when we go through all these things. Not easy. But as we submit to God's will, and then we go through all these things with the Lord's help, we can really experience the truth of the scriptures, the promise of the Lord, who has promised to be with us always, all the way, to help us in our time of need as we seek Him in prayer. He deals with that, you know, later on in verses 5 and following, how to deal with temptations. Not easy. You know, when in 2008, when we received this writ of summons, this lawsuit that Life Church instituted against FEBC, and I was served this writ of summons, and you receive it, and if you were to receive such a writ, how would you feel? A lawsuit. I'm sure this is not only difficult on me, but also my fellow colleagues, the faculty and the board, our students as well, and those who love the college. This writ of summons and the suit to evict. When I received that writ of summons, I must confess I was not saying hallelujah. You know, I was not rejoicing. I would be very angry if you congratulated me. How did I feel at that time? Well, there was actually a lot of fear. The feelings were mixed. There was fear. There was sorrow, sadness. There was anxiety. You get worried. You get discouraged. Doubts begin to creep in. Questions. Why? You know, why? Why is this happening? Why should I be going through all this? So all these things can really get you down. It's a real trial and testing. And of course, the temptation is there. The temptation was this. Well, if you want to escape from all these things, you want to enjoy the premises, the temptation was this. Sign on the dotted line. Promise us you will never teach the verbal and plenary preservation of scriptures, that the Bible is 100% preserved to the last jot and tittle, that we have a presently infallible and inerrant Bible today. And here it is, by the logic of faith, we can tell all these things based on biblical principles, and we can say, thus saith the Lord, it's written, you stop teaching all these things. Sign an undertaking. Not to teach this, or preach this, or talk about this. It's a personal conviction. You just keep it to yourself. Temptation, with this trial, there was this temptation. And it would be easy just to sign a dotted line, okay, and then everything will be back to normal. And will be free and easy. No more trouble. And you may face this kind of temptations in your life too. Trials and testings come, and then this temptation. The temptation doesn't come from the Lord, it comes from within us. When we lack faith, we don't believe, we don't trust the Lord, and sometimes in the moment of weakness, we deny the Lord. There's a real temptation. We must make sure we should never deny the Lord stand firm on this truth, keep on believing. And the Lord sometimes sends all these trials and testings to test. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? True or false believer? Of course, the false believer, those who say they believe, but actually they don't believe in a time of crisis and danger, they deny the Lord. Because in the first place, they believe for the wrong reason. But you have believed for the right reasons, because you know you're a sinner. You need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Jesus did all these things for me, I believe. And I will never give him up for anything in the world because he is my life. And you'll, no matter what, you'll stand firm. And that was how I felt. How can I deny my Lord? How can I deny his word? This is his truth. And if I don't have this word, how can I preach? And if the Bible today is not infallible, inerrant, my sole supreme final authority, then I better look for something else. Why would I be a Christian? How do I know this is true? And the truth grips you so hard, and you believe on it, you know, you just cannot make yourself to say no to the Lord. You keep on believing and trusting him. You're not signed on a dotted line. You're not sell your soul to the devil. My life belongs to the Lord. I trust in his word. And then the problems don't go away. They come more and more. Not easy. Very difficult. And the Lord allows all these things and sends all these things for our good, to strengthen us in the faith. So here, James says, look, know this. Understand this. The purpose, the reason why God allows all these things to happen, the persecution, the hardships, the sufferings you're going through on account of your faith. Know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So, when all these things come, if we know that it comes from the Lord, there's a good reason for all these things, a good purpose, a good end to all these things, is all for, and it's for our own good, then there's every reason to rejoice, to be happy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So that's why here, count it all joy. How to overcome all these things? Have the joy of the Lord as your strength. And the joy of the Lord will come if you have that faith. You exercise your faith. You keep believing. And he will give you that joy, that peace that will help you to go through all these things. And then when more and more of these trials and testings come, then you must have also this other virtue of endurance. Right? Translated patience over here. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And this is something we must need in our life. And the Lord knows how to make us more and more patient or enduring in our lives for him. And this trying here, it says here, the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying here involves a process. It's not a one-time test. It's an ongoing test that all of us have to face. And there may be multiple tests, multiple examinations that we will face in our lives. After one test, you pass one test successfully, the Lord may send another one and another one in our lives. And all these are geared to make us more and more like Christ, to strengthen our faith, and how we need this patience and endurance in our life. We'll keep on going. And if we have this genuine faith, we will keep on believing. Those who don't have will give up, all right? Will quit the faith. But if we have genuine faith, this faith will produce good works, good virtues, like endurance. And if we don't have this, and faith without works, faith without this endurance is dead. If we have faith, our faith is not dead faith. Our faith has this quality. Our faith has this virtue, this strength that we will endure. Endure all these hardships, sufferings, persecution, tribulation that come our way. And the word patience here is significant. The word patience here has the idea of remaining under. In fact, in the original, it literally means that, to remain under. Remain under what? Remain under intense and immense pressure, stress and pressure. And while under such immense and intense stress and pressure, you do not crack up. You're not broken. In fact, the opposite is true. You become stronger. You become hardier. You become more resilient in your faith, in your walk with the Lord. So this word patience can also be understood as endurance, and not just endurance, as super endurance. Do we have this virtue in our lives? I trust when we go through difficult times, we'll always say, praise the Lord, thank the Lord. We'll never blame the Lord for anything. The pain and suffering we go through, the trials and testing that may come on our way, we always glorify God, praise His name, thank Him, pray to Him, right? Seek His help. You know, when we seek His help and His grace to go through all these things, we are saying, Lord, I trust in Thee. I have nothing within myself. I need Thee. And that brings pleasure to God. God delights in such things in us. And also God wants us to see all these things. He sends all these things on our ways to humble us, tell us we can't do it on our own. We are big zero. And He is everything, our all in all. And He wants to push us and drive us to Himself, you see. And then when we are driven to the Lord, He will bless us with His joy, His peace. He will comfort us. He will also counsel us by His Spirit and then strengthen our faith and our belief on Him. And then we become overcomers. Overcomers. And that's why in the book of Revelation, those who will be crowned at the end are all what? Overcomers. You have this conquering faith in you. And this conquering faith involves having this virtue that we endure all these things in our lives. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, in the Olivet Discourse, when the world will get from bad to worse, and you see all these things happening, bad times are coming, and the Lord says, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. He who endures. Now, who is the one who will endure to the end? It's the believer who will keep on believing and believing and believing, not only in good times, but also in bad times. Whether rich or poor, I will keep on believing in the Lord. And when you have this virtue of endurance, then you know your faith is a true and genuine faith. And every believer will persevere in the faith. The fifth point of Calvinism, right? The perseverance of the saints. And why do the saints persevere? They have true faith. Why do they persevere? Because God preserves them. And if we are true believers, we will be able to fulfill all these things here in verses 2 to 4. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, trying of your faith worketh or produces patience, endurance, super endurance, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be entire, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So this tells us that the trying of our faith we can overcome them with the joy of the Lord. We rejoice in these matters. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Count it all joy. When we go through all these things joyfully in the Lord, it will produce in us this endurance that will strengthen our faith to keep on believing in good times as well as in bad times, especially in bad times. And then this patience will have this perfect result, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And this perfection does not mean sinless perfection, because that will come only at the end when the Lord returns and when we receive our glorified bodies. That we may be perfect here, the word perfect has the idea of spiritual maturity, spiritual completeness. You'll be a wholesome Christian. God is working in us to make us holy and wholesome. We are fully equipped, fully armed with all the ammunition we need, spiritual ammunition we need. We are fully equipped, perfectly equipped, spiritually mature and complete to do battle royal for the Lord, to resist the devil and all his temptations, and also to, in our life, to be more and more sanctified in the Lord, to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to be perfect and entire, wholesome believers, having all the spiritual equipment we need to live for Him and to serve Him in our lives. And there's no royal road to this wonderful state that we must be in. There's hard road, trials and testings the Lord will send on our ways. But we don't go through these things alone. The Lord helps us. And then it's also a very exciting journey. Not easy, but as we go through this joyfully and patiently, we experience the Lord in a very real way in our lives. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. We experience when we seek Him in prayer to help us. He gives us wisdom. He blesses us with His peace. We can sleep well at night. Our worries are no more, because we surrender ourselves totally to Him and commit ourselves, our lives to Him. We believe in His promise that He will take care of our every need. And then when we experience the Lord in such a real way, and we see His invisible and powerful hand at work, then we not only know Him in our minds, we know Him in our lives, in our experience. The knowledge is not just academic, it is experiential. Becomes very practical. So how this is so good for us, we should not shun all these things and run away from all these things. Anyway, they will come. Just like FEBC students cannot run away from tests and exams. Students here, don't think the tests and exams are evil. They are good. Good for you, to test you, make you study hard, you see. Prove you are genuine and true student, truly called, you will endure. You'll say, praise the Lord. More tests, more exams. Reverend Quack gives you more quiz. Praise the Lord. More assignments. Praise the Lord. And now I must count it all joy and persevere, endure all the hardships. Do my best for the Lord with His help, His strength. And you experience the Lord in your life. The Lord helping. And we have testimonies of students going through all these hardships, and they say, they are all so good for me. Well, in our own spiritual lives, we'll face all these things. And as Reverend Timothy Toles says, well, we all begin with inexperienced faith. But the Lord doesn't want us to remain inexperienced. We'll send all these trials, testings in our lives so that we might have experienced faith. We experience the Lord and His Word in our lives. And then This will lead to spiritual maturity and perfection. We become wholesome Christians. We come to a state where we have a faith that needs no experience. And that's what we must strive for. May the Lord help us to do this and to pursue this with faith. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy truth, Thy word. We thank Thee, O Lord, that You allow us to go through many trials and testings in our life for our own good, that we might learn what it means to live for Thee and learn what it means to trust in Thee and experience also Thy goodness and grace in our lives. So bless Thy people here. Forgive us of all our sins, times when we fail to trust in Thee, to believe on Thee, we succumb to temptations and sin against Thee. Forgive us and help us to be stronger believers. Bring glory to Thy name, and we in our lives be strong believers that we might be a help to others as well. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.